went to see my physician. He said, you're definitely ill. Then said the nurse, I've seen worse, and the doctor just gave me a pill. Take one of those 3 times a day, don't ever stop until you're nearly dead or almost better. Keep out of the reach of children. The thing is, there might be some side effects. You mean there probably will? Well, if it's a fact, just come back and I'll give you another pill. On top of that, 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 and then he showed me his bill. I popped another pill.
Welcome to When Your Health Matters. Your host is Dr. Richard Hantoon of Advanced Alternative Medicine Center, located right here in the Hudson Valley in Newburgh. Dr. Hantoon has been practicing alternative health, utilizing chiropractic and many other alternative health techniques for the past 27 years to support you when your health matters. It's his intention to offer practical advice every week for you to consider and apply in your own life to make your life and the lives of your family and friends healthier and happier. And when you have questions, he'll give you resources to get your health-related questions answered from Doc Rick himself or another expert from the show. Being empowered to make positive health choices before a problem arises is the best way to approach health. And he promises to have information for you every week that will allow you to become proactive and empowered to take control of your health and your life. Doc Rick is grateful you're tuned in today, and your journey will begin after our first commercial break from our generous sponsor.
You are listening to the Alternative Healthcare Network.
This is Bruce Bagan from B&B Pool and Spa Center. We're proud sponsors of When Your Health Matters. Please appreciate that as a pool and spa builder, we are committed to making sure that you can get the most health benefits from owning your own hot water spa. And that's why we carry a full line of Sundance Spas, the world's leading manufacturer of hydrotherapy spas. Relaxation is one of the best ways to take care of your health. And when you own your own Sundance Spa, you can unwind at home every day in the privacy and comfort of your own home. Each Sundance Spa has dozens of precisely placed water jets to pamper you with their massaging bubbles. B&B Pool and Spa Center carries a full line of Sundance spas and is a factory-authorized warranty center. Come to B&B. You'll be amazed at how easy we make it to have your own personal hydrotherapy spa. We'll handle everything for you, so just sit back and relax. Visit the water professionals at B&B Pool and Spa Center, where we've been helping customers relax and enjoy their water since 1972. 787 Chestnut Ridge Road in Chestnut Ridge, and on the web at bbpoolandspa.com, or call 888-706-4557. That's bbpoolandspa.com. Or 888-706-4557.
You are listening to the Alternative Healthcare Network. You are listening to the Alternative Healthcare Network.
Welcome to this week's show, When Your Health Matters, the show designed to empower you to better health through knowledge and education. And I'm your host, Dr. Richard Hantoon from Advanced Alternative Medicine Center. We're located at 138 Canal Street in Pooler Park. That is in Pooler, Georgia. We are in Suite 404 of Building 400. Our phone number, the best phone number, just get a call my cell phone because that's where you're going to get a hold of me and we can actually talk. That phone number is area code 845-561-2225. Again, 845-561-2225. Please do not text me. My phone does not receive texts, so you'll be texting out into the ethers and you'll never get a response back. Always call me. If you don't want to call me, you can email me. You can email me directly at docrick@spineboy.com. That's docrick@spineboy.com. You can come to a free class on Tuesday evenings at 6:30, but you need to call for reservations. You can come to the office and we can talk. Whatever it takes, let's help you. Go to my website, spineboy.com. That's a plethora of information that's designed to give you the understanding you need and empower you over your health concern instead of being controlled by your health concern. Now, this show is called When Your Health Matters, and it's up to you when your health matters. And we are here every week, and we've been talking to you for, I don't know, the last at least year and a half, almost 2 years. And we appreciate your listenership. The man that helps me do that, he's in studio with me. His name is Mark Sabin. He's an interfaith minister. He is a father. He is a marketer extraordinaire. He's a very good friend. He's a Tai Chi master. He's got lots of interesting perspectives on the world, and he helps me disseminate information to you and communicate understandings on the various topics that he chooses for us. And he's in studio with me right now. We want to say welcome, Mark, and welcome to When Your Health Matters.
Well, thank you, Doc Rick. It's a pleasure to be here once again. And, you know, One of the things that I've been struggling with trying to understand and trying to find if there are solutions out there that would really be reasonable for people is one of the major healthcare crises that we're seeing now, which really goes against a lot of what we do here in terms of talking about health, because in your practice, you don't use any kind of drugs. And we talk about being proactive about your health and doing things, you know, naturally to bring health about. But one of the things that professionals are, and I'm sure you face this as well in your practice, and is this problem of addiction. And is this something that you are seeing more in your practice?
Well, it's interesting. I do see a lot of people that have addictions, and there's various different types of addictions, and addiction is a rampant problem that goes unnoticed in a majority of our society. And the problem is we all have some tendency towards addiction. Things like food, alcohol, drugs, recreational or prescription drugs, sugar, sex, the internet, gaming. I mean, there are so many different types of addictions. And as a result of that, if a person recognizes for themselves that they have an imbalance and that they have this obsession with and the overwhelming urge to look at their cell phone or check Facebook or eat a particular food or whatever their addiction happens to be, if they bring that to my attention, I will help them end their addiction, regardless of what it is. And it's they say that addiction is a disease, and the television will promote it as a disease. Addiction is actually a mindset. And when you address the mindset appropriately and you unlock the trap doors and you allow the person's brain to line up again with rational thinking, I've helped lots of people, including heroin addicts, get off of their addiction with no medication and essentially giving people the understanding that they need in as little as an hour and a half.
Wow. Wow. Now, what is an addiction, and is it fundamentally different from a habit or a habitual practice?
Well, addiction involves an obsession that is overwhelming, whereas a habit is simply a routine or a way of doing something that is beneficial. Addictions are certainly not beneficial.
Mm-hmm. Now, you just said that most of us have, or all of us have, a tendency towards addiction, so no one is really immune to the issues of addiction. We are surrounded by people in the throes of addiction to legal and illegal substances and practices. What's going on?
Well, society is more compelled to chase after their love of money, so we are obviously, we're essentially oblivious to the fact that money is being made by the truckload by helping people become addicted. So society right now is in an interesting position and feeding people's addictions without you even knowing that it's an addiction yourself. And so we're at an interesting tipping point in our society. We recognize that there's an opioid addiction, and yet medicine is not really doing anything about the consequences of that addiction other than restricting the amount of availability of the opioids by limiting the amount of prescriptions that a healthcare provider can write, and they're being more scrutinized and monitored more closely. So good, now the person who has this opioid addiction can't get their drug of choice, so guess what they're going to go do, Mark?
They're going to street drugs.
They're going to go find a suitable substitute that gives them a similar response, or maybe a better response, a cheaper response, or more easily accessible response, and that's leading to ruined lives.
It is. It's leading to a lot of deaths. I mean, the fact is that people that are going out and getting some of these street drugs, you don't know what you're getting, and then you see a lot of overdoses that are happening.
You do.
So how do we address this problem as a society?
Well, we actually have to stand up and take notice, and we have to say that this needs to stop, and we need to come up with a logical reason for why people get addicted. And I've been teaching people about the addictive nature of life and of society, and I help people understand how to unwind it and what starts it and how we get into it and how it evolves over time how it's always sitting there waiting for you to exercise your right to participate in it. And you actually have to have a strong will in which not to. I mean, anybody listening right now, I promise you have an addiction to sugar to one degree or another. And when you're stressed out or when you're hungry or when you're bored or when you're tired or when you're something, if you're near where sugar is, you're probably going to partake in it. And you may or may not see that as an addiction, but if that's your crutch, if that's your solution of choice, and it's not a good solution, but if that's the solution that you're using, then you're going to end up having issues as a result.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I mean, we've created these war on drugs, and but none of that seems to work, because it's very much along the lines of what we talk about here so often in the show, which is you're treating the symptoms, you're not treating the cause. What you're talking about in your practice is actually addressing the cause for people so that they can change the level of cause, and then by doing that, change the way that they're dealing with their problems in life.
Right. And that's the thing. It's like, okay, when you find something that makes you feel better, mm-hmm. and takes you away and alters the way that you see the stress that you're dealing with in life, and then you start to get into that as a habit, and then you start to get dependent upon it, and then you become obsessed with it, and you have to be doing it all the time. Okay, you went from having a problem that's not related to the thing that you're now addicted to, and you developed your addiction in an effort to solve a problem that you still haven't addressed.
That's interesting that you're using the substance to avoid dealing with the thing that caused you to want to use the substance.
Right.
And then you've got this problem. Now
you're using the substance, which is a new problem, and the old problem's still there.
Still there. So in your own practice, when you do this, and one of the things that you said just a moment ago was that sugar is something that virtually everybody is addicted to.
And sugar is the gateway to all other addictions.
So the gateway drug is sugar?
Yes.
Not tobacco, not marijuana,
no.
Or anything else. It's sugar. Why is that?
Just because the way that our physiology is set up, you know, mm-hmm. I'll say this laughing, and I hope nobody takes me to heart with what it is that I'm going to say, but God created a cruel trick on humanity and made 80% of your taste buds sensitive to sweetness. So the likelihood of you becoming sweet, sensitive, and becoming addicted to the sweetness response is very, very high. And it's just a question of, okay, the way that our bodies are set up, the way that our physiology is set up, and the way that the food manufacturers and the drug companies have figured out how to capitalize on is through our sense of taste, and that sense of taste is number one sense of taste is our sense of sweetness. So
and I remember reading that rats that were offered cocaine versus sugar would choose sugar over cocaine. It was more it was preferable to them.
Right, and at the end of the day, that in itself should be an eye opener for our society. But yet, most of society doesn't understand that. Why? Because we're all running a rat race, and we're all doing the same thing the rats are doing. We're more interested in sugar than we are cocaine, although sugar will set yourself up for potentially developing a cocaine habit.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, now we're living in a world where, like it or not, there are all these substances that are getting into our diets that we're ingesting, I mean, thousands of chemicals without even knowing it.
Well, what's interesting is the fact that we're exposed to 84,000 different chemicals on a weekly basis, mm-hmm. as an individual. And the FDA regulates less than 20,000 of them. So in our previous show where we talked about the need for detoxification, well, this is what goes into it. And they're doing research right now, and interesting research is coming out right now related to what goes on with artificial sweeteners and how those are addicting and how those are wreaking havoc within our system and our microbiome, which is setting ourselves up for being more addicted to those substances.
And these are small amounts of these substances, but they have this consequential effect on us.
Right. It's like medication. You're taking a small dose of a chemical substance, and it has a huge, far-reaching physiological effect, which alters your blood chemistry, your brain chemistry, and changes the way that you behave.
And then when you look at what's happening, particularly in the media area, I mean, you get a constant diet of these drug advertisements that are telling you, you need this, you have this problem, you need this drug, and of course, they come with their host of side effects.
Right, and in 2016, there was spent $6.2 billion was spent in advertising in the year 2016 just on the four major channels, your ABC, NBC, CBS, and Fox. $6.2 billion. Now, have you ever watched USA Network?
I have, no.
Okay, well, USA Network is a popular network, just like Lifetime is a popular network, just like TBS is a popular network, or TNT is a popular network. Mm-hmm. And all of these popular networks, they all advertise drugs just as much as they do on the four major news networks. So it's a question of, well, how much money is actually being spent in an effort to create a mindset to where we are going to be taking pharmaceutical prescription drugs and, you know, feed our addictive nature and then trap us into addiction. And that's where we are right now with the opioids.
Yeah, and I know we've talked extensively about how the food and the drug companies are kind of in this working in collusion.
Right. They have a governing agency that embodies both of them, the Food and Drug Administration. And when you're using the government agency of the Food and Drug Administration to monitor our foods and our drugs, and all of it's being monitored in a way to make the maximum amount of profit, you got to ask yourself, who's minding the store and who's got my best interests at heart? And the answer is nobody from the government has your best interests at heart. They're just simply interested in getting you on whatever financial plan that you can contribute to their health and welfare at the expense of your health and welfare.
And now, aren't they also getting doctors to earn more money by prescribing medication? Isn't that part of the whole mix there?
Well, there's a facet of that within the healthcare industry, because a doctor has a number associated with their prescribing, and that goes into a big, huge computer system, and they can see who's prescribing, who's overprescribing, and, you know, part of what the doctor gets is they get a remuneration from the pharmaceutical industry for being the go-between between the pharmacy and the pharmaceutical company and the subject, if you will, or the person taking the medication. So they grease the wheel all along the way. And yeah, at the end of the day, I'm sure that the medical profession gets their monthly bonus check for the amount of prescriptions that were written and dispensed. And I think there's a conflict of interest there.
There's also a problem of the amount of time that doctors are able to spend with patients. So what's happening now is they meet with you for a very short period of time, say, this is what your problem is, and say, well, and then we'll give you this medication, and they write up three or four prescriptions and to send you to the drugstore and have you fill them out, and then, well, we'll see you back in a couple of months and see how you're doing,
right,
for a five-minute check-in.
And, yeah, once you're on the medication, if you have any complications, come in and maybe we'll switch it to a new one and mm-hmm. we'll monitor what the effects are on you, and hopefully it's going to take care of your symptom, but we need to monitor you to make sure that we're not destroying your liver in the process.
Right.
And then that becomes the business of medicine.
Right. And I mean, and the demands placed on the people in the medical profession, the doctors, I mean, they're spending enormous amounts of time filling out paperwork so that all this stuff can go through the bureaucracy of the systems, and the time they spend on paperwork is not time they're spending on helping people with their health.
Right, and the challenge in defense of the medical profession is the fact that, you know, people are becoming a little bit more savvy, but we've also conditioned people through the medical commercials, et cetera, and over the last however many years, that people expect to get a pill.
Mm-hmm.
So you go into the doctor and you're expecting to get a prescription written for you.
Mm-hmm.
And the doctor doesn't necessarily find a need to write you a prescription, but the patient is demanding that they get a prescription. And sometimes nowadays, well, Dr. Jones doesn't want to see this particular patient, so let the patient call in and I'll call in a script for them just so that I don't have to see them, kind of thing, because they end up taking more than 3 minutes of my day and they screw up my whole flow. So we'll just call in their prescription. They don't even have to come in because it's better for me if they don't.
Yeah, so what we're looking at is a situation where, you know, we're talking about the issue of addiction, but we're dealing also in a climate where there are all these factors that are influencing that, whether the government regulations or whether the pharmaceuticals drive to sell more prescriptions or the people who are making these addictive substances that they can then use to treat pain or whatever.
Right.
And then the food industry, which is also so this is a huge issue, and it's not something that is easily addressed on the level of trying to change what's happening.
No, and it's not something we're going to unwind overnight. But what my purpose of today's show is to give people the understanding that if you do have an addiction, there's a way out of that addiction, and it's not replacing one addiction with another addiction. Okay, mm-hmm. It's interesting enough, earlier on in my life, I had a young lady friend who I lived with for a period of time, and in the process of her moving in with me and me trying to create a life that would make her life easier, she always had to work hard for everything, and it was uncomfortable for her to have things be easier. So she started using lots of alcohol, and I found out somewhere down the road that she was also using recreational drugs. And I got a phone call from the Metro North Police Department down in Grand Central Station saying that my girlfriend had passed out, she was being sent to the hospital, and that she had overdosed on something or other, and was I going to come get her? And I told the guy no. And he says, what do you mean? I said, well, she got herself into this problem. She'll get herself out. And when she finds herself home, then I will help her. But I'm not going to go enable her to just come home and have it no consequences. So when she came home, I said, tell me what your situation is. And she says, I have a problem. And I said, well, tell me about your problem. She says, I have a tendency to drink too much. And this was, again, she hadn't told me about the alcohol, I mean, the drug portion of it. And so I said, well, what do you want to do? And she's like, well, I need your help. I said, are you asking for my help? And she said, yes. I said, because if you're asking for my help, that means that you're giving up control and I'm going to take control of the situation. Well, 2 days later, I had her at the Foremost Alcohol and Drug Rehab Center out in Oklahoma. And I paid for a plane ticket. I paid for $17,000 to get her in the front door. And she went there for 90 days.
Wow.
And in the course of the 90 days, they uncovered that she also had a drug addiction. But the sad part was when I went out there to visit her to pick her up for graduation, I found that they replaced her drug addiction with a sugar addiction, which is just going to set her up for going back to the drugs later on.
Which is so, I mean, recidivism is such a big problem.
Right, because at the end of the day, they have limited resources because they're not government sponsored. They're a private organization and they do very, very good work. But at the end of the day, they got limited resources. So what are they going to do? They're going to cut corners on the food that they're feeding these people. So mm-hmm. It's very easy to feed them pasta and to feed them rice and to feed them other kinds of simple sugars and long shelf life sugar-laden foods. But you're replacing the one addiction and you're enhancing the other addiction that leads to that initial addiction. And at the end of the 90 days, some other things had come up in the course of her care, and they decided that she wasn't ready to leave. And so they kept her for longer.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, so it cost me a little bit more than 17 grand to try to help this person in the right way. And she was still having secrets and hiding things and keeping things from the people who were trying to help her. And I had to cut my ties and leave.
That sometimes that's the only solution that you have in that situation.
Right, because if they're not willing to help themselves, then there's nothing you can do to help them anyway.
Yeah, and it's rather unfortunate that what happens now with so many people that have gone down that path, and once you get out, especially with these fentanyl and heroin and things like that, if you're into that sort of addiction, just because what's available on the street there is so unpredictable. And people have reached, you know, such a bottom level. I mean, I remember not that long ago, a young person, and typically I'm seeing a lot of young people that are succumbing to these overdoses, who had passed away. And I was actually at the funeral and waiting to see his family and express my condolences. And as I was standing in line, there was another couple, young couple there, and they seemed to be, you know, just like normal young people. But behind me on the other side, a mother started to berate this young man. And I was like, why is she berating this young man? And then a few minutes later, as I was in the line, I noticed him starting to nod off in that way that people who are on heroin will tend to nod off. And it suddenly dawned on me, he's at his friend's funeral and he's so hooked on this drug that
he's one of the people that was doing heroin with the guy that overdosed and passed away as a result of heroin.
Exactly. And it was really an eye opener for me, because it's not a world that I really fluctuate in that often, but to see that was really kind of, wow, this is a huge problem.
Right. And so when we have these kinds of addictions, whether they're really, really harsh drugs, recreational drugs, whether they're the pharmaceutical drugs, whether it's the sugar itself, those substances that are addictive, that's a problem. But there's also addictions to things that aren't actual physical substances.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you can have addictive thoughts, psychological addictions. You can have addictions to the internet, where you have to surf the internet. It was interesting. I was talking to one of my patients the other day, and she was so proud that it had been 10 days since she'd gone to a shopping site on the internet.
And
she was excited that she was telling me and her husband that, you know, she was saying to her husband that, you know, I don't know if you've noticed, but I haven't gone to any of our shopping websites in over 10 days. And he was like, well, that's very good, sweetie. And I was in the back of my mind, you know, these are two lovely people. But in the back of my mind, I was just like, well, there's another type of addiction. You know, it's there's a commercial that's playing down where I live right now where this woman's talking about the, I don't know, the jewelry store at this online website, and her ring is on it, and she's going back on the site tonight to do some more shopping, this, that, and the other thing. And it's like, okay, you know, websites, what are they trying to do? They're trying to get you hooked in, and Facebook, and what is that? That's also an addiction, and Twitter, and all these other different social media websites. Those are also addictions. Kids at home playing computer games, that's also an addiction. And mm-hmm. It's like, okay, parents need to put in good, strong parental controls. And 3 hours before you go to bed, we got to shut all those devices off so that what? So that your brain can calm down so that you can actually go to sleep.
Yeah, yeah. It's a big problem. And they design them. The logarithms that they use in some of these social media sites, they're designed very specifically to keep you going. That
right. It's interesting because when you, let's say, go to Facebook, and I go to Facebook maybe once every 6 or 8 weeks or whatever, but it's interesting. When I go into Facebook, I check my notifications, and it says, you have 5 friend requests. And I'm like, okay, let me go see who's wanting to be my friend. And it takes me to a page that loads all the people that I may know.
Right.
And I, as an experiment, I just said, well, let me scroll down and see who these people are. And I never got to the bottom. It kept reloading more people. And it kept me stuck there for about 5 minutes. And I was just like, and this is why I don't go to Facebook, because I don't want to get involved in this type of loop. So I turned it off, and I was like, well, it doesn't matter who's requesting to be my friend.
Right, right. Well, this subject of addiction is an important addiction, and I have a number of other questions I wanted to ask you. But before we do, we need to take a short break to hear from our generous sponsor, the AlternativeHealthcareNetwork.com, and we'll discuss this subject a little bit more.
Yes, thanks, Mark, and thank you for listening, and please listen to this commercial, and we'll be right back.
You are listening to the Alternative Healthcare Network.
You've been going to the doctor for years. They order you blood work, give you a pill to cover up your symptom, and send you on your way. The side effects to that medication could not only be dangerous, but life-threatening, and what you don't know can kill you. I'm Dr. Richard Huntoon of the Advanced Alternative Medicine Center. For all the latest on improving your health, I'm here to answer any questions in helping you towards a healthier life. Call Advanced Alternative Medicine Center at 561-2225 or go to spineboy.com.
You are listening to the Alternative Healthcare Network.
And we are back, and you are listening to When Your Health Matters, the show designed to empower you to better health through knowledge and education. And I'm your host, Dr. Richard Huntoon from Advanced Alternative Medicine Center, located at 138 Canal Street in Pooler Park. That is in Pooler, Georgia. We're at Suite 404 in Building 400. Best way to get a hold of me would be to call my cell phone at area code 845-561-2225. Again, 845-561-2225. It's a phone for calling. It's not a phone for texting. So please don't try to text me, because I will never get back to you, because I won't actually receive the text. If you want to email me and text me that way, you can email me at docrick@spineboy.com. That's docrick at spineboy.com. And it would be my pleasure to answer your questions and help you with understanding that you need to help manage and improve your health. And today, Mark and I are talking about a very difficult circumstance that we have in our country, and it's the circumstance of addiction. And there's so many different types of addictions, and we've covered some drug addictions, etc. And what else would you like to talk about, Mark?
Well, one more thing about the drug addiction issue that seems to be really relevant is that if you're watching any kind of media, you're getting a constant diet of drug advertisements. So either you're looking at magazines or watching television. And so many of these, you know, they put you on a lifetime of taking medications.
Yes, they do, Mark. And it's, again, it's the profit over people's mentality. And we need to stand up and we need to say no to it, both as individuals and as a society. But it starts with one person. And it hopefully can become contagious in a good way, in that more than one person starts to say no, and eventually society as a whole will say no. And the easiest way for society to say no and for the individual to say no is just don't buy it. Just don't spend your dollars on it.
But so often when you go in and you have health insurance, the health insurance covers it. So you're not even having to pay for it, or you're paying minimally.
Or you're not necessarily aware of the fact that you're paying for it indirectly. Why? Because you're paying your monthly healthcare premiums. And part of the stipend from your monthly health care premiums goes towards your prescription plan. Now, had the Hillary Clinton gotten into office, they were ready to roll out a prescription prepay plan to where every citizen in the country was going to, you know, have to pay a $250 prescription plan every month for the prescription to help offset the cost of prescription drugs so the pharmaceutical company could still make their money. They're going to make their money on the front end of the equation. Mm-hmm. And then everybody would be paying into that system in an effort to minimize the effects of how much things cost. The challenge is that when you got a third-party payer involved, or even when you're paying for it, if you're doing it because it's what's been recommended by a trusted resource, which is hopefully your medical doctor, but they're doing it because of the benefits that they get and they're not overly concerned with the long-term effects of what it's going to do for you, that becomes a conflict of interest and that becomes problematic. And what I want the average listener to understand is that you don't have to get caught up in all of that. And the way that you don't get caught up in it is you go to the source of your issue, whether it's a health issue, whether it's an addiction issue. And if you address the cause, then you don't get caught up in any of that. And then it doesn't matter. You don't have the addiction, therefore you don't need to have the substance or you don't need to have the behavior.
So when you get back and you go into the source of these things, well, what then becomes the difference between, say, a psychological addiction or the dependence that you might have on a substance, those types of addictions?
Well, psychological addictions are within the mind of the addicted. Dependence is having a physiological need for something to feel normal, and addiction is an obsession. And so when you have a psychological need, it's a defect primarily in the mind, okay, in mm-hmm. terms of the way that you think. Okay. Now, dependence is also having a psychological imbalance, but it's also physiological. So that can be addressed more directly. And then the addiction itself, you just have to work with the person to help understand what the addiction is, what the addiction is rooted in, and address what the root is, and then you can break the addiction cycle.
No, but as I understand it, a physical addiction, when you're addicted to a substance, which would cause, and when you get off the substance, people talk about withdrawal. I know that from tobacco or nicotine and from heroin and from alcohol, all those substances, you may have a severe response if you stop taking them.
You will, and that's one of the things that's going on in the medical circumstances right now, where they'll give you a prescription medication, and the medical supervisors or the doctor who prescribed you the drug will tell you under no circumstances are you allowed to stop taking this medication. And there's even warnings on the TV commercials that you shouldn't stop taking your medication. And the question is okay, well then, is starting that medication a good thing for somebody to do? Mm-hmm. Because now if your life is threatened if you stop the medication, then maybe we need to find a better way to address the problem before we even start this medication.
But yeah.
You as the individual need to have your wits about you and have an awareness of, okay, you need to ask the questions. What's nice is that if you go to my website, spineboy.com, there's articles on what to ask your doctor if you're given prescription medication. And there's a whole list of questions there to ask. And you should mm-hmm. probably get all those questions asked, and there's probably even more, before you agree to take the prescription, certainly before you agree to fill the prescription.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, you need to understand this is your health. They work for you, and you have the final say.
Yep. Yep, you do. Now, if you're, you know, most people in America probably are coffee drinkers. And if you need a lift from time to time, is there harm in a cup of coffee or say one of those new high energy drinks?
Well, that depends on the person. For some, it may be no big deal. And for others, it may be devastating. Now, there is a difference between a cup of coffee versus one of those high energy drinks because it has to do with the amount of caffeine. Mm-hmm. Now, caffeine is a stimulant.
Right.
And caffeine will have a pushing effect on the body. And so when you become addicted, if you will, or when you require this push in order to feel normal, just realize that the substance that's allowing for the push within your body is actually burning out the part of your body that's supposed to do that job for you. So you end up creating an adrenal deficiency, you end up creating adrenal fatigue and adrenal weakness, and that's harder to recover from, because if you're still doing the substance to give you the push, and that's the crutch, okay, then to get your body to go back to doing what it's supposed to do and take the place of that crutch is going to be a pretty serious uphill battle.
Mm-hmm. And the adrenal function does what exactly?
Well, it helps to regulate blood pressure.
Okay.
It helps to regulate your stress response. It helps to regulate your cortisol response, which is why people get belly fat, because they have too much cortisol being secreted. And then when your body can't secrete those hormones to respond to those stresses, okay, then you don't respond to stress the way that you're supposed to, and then other bad things happen.
Mm-hmm. Once again, stress becomes one of the major problems we face for our health.
Yes.
Now, let's say at the end of the long day, you come home and you want a glass of wine or a cocktail. It might be, you know, a nice, refreshing relief. When do you know you have a problem with that, as opposed to just something that you enjoy occasionally?
Well, do you need it in order to feel relaxed versus I don't have to do it and I'm okay if I don't? And today I'm going to have a glass of wine and I may not actually finish the glass of wine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just, you know, I would just like something to help take the edge off of my day, but I'm not going to pour myself into the bottle as I'm pouring the bottle out into me.
Mm-hmm. Now, does addiction come from people seeking pleasure, or is it more of a way to avoid pain, or is it a combination of those two?
Well, it is both, Mark. Addiction can be any and all of the three, and so sometimes people have an addiction to create pleasure, sometimes people have an addiction to avoid pain, and sometimes they have an addiction that helps to serve to avoid pleasure or to enhance pleasure and to avoid pain at the same time, and it's you know, it just depends upon what is the person trying to avoid in the process.
So we spoke a little bit ago in the first segment about the fact that sugar is what you call the gateway drug. And what is it that you're trying to do for yourself when you're attracted to sugar, when you want to have, I mean, it tastes good.
Well, taste is tied to your stomach, spleen, pancreas organs.
Okay.
So the stomach, spleen, pancreas, what are known as the earth element, which is most active late summer, early fall, your sense of taste is governed by those three organs. Now, the emotions associated with those three organs have to do with self-esteem.
Mm-hmm.
And so your sense of taste is tied to your self-esteem. So when you don't feel good about yourself, Mark, there's a greater than 80% chance that you're probably going to reach for sugar.
So when you hear about women who sit there and there's something upsetting happens in their lives and they go, and then I went and got a gallon of ice cream and just sat down and ate it, or I ate a cake or something.
Right, or they had chips or they had bonbons or whatever the heck it is. And it's not just women that have that. Men also do the same thing. They just don't show the effect of it the same way that women do. But at the end of the day, yeah, what they're trying to do is they have a self-esteem issue, and they're trying to solve that by stimulating the sense of taste to help quiet the sense of low self-esteem in the moment.
So, I mean, when I hear it described as, you know, something upsetting or depressing happened, and so I'm trying to get the sense of how does that correlate to self-esteem.
Well, if you feel powerless to help the situation that's depressing, do you feel good about yourself because you're powerless?
No. I mean,
so when
you
feel powerless, you don't feel good about yourself. Right. And when you don't feel good about yourself, you're going to try to do something to make yourself feel better. And it feels good to put something good in your mouth that feels good, tastes good, and that substitutes for the opposite feeling that you're trying to avoid. So people end up reaching for sugar in an effort to solve that, and ultimately it boils down to their sense of confidence or their sense of control or their sense of being able to overcome whatever it is that they're having difficulty reconciling.
Got it. Okay. Now, it used to be the most common addiction people talked about was tobacco. I guess tobacco is enjoyable for people who want to use it. So do you get a nicotine high?
In a manner of speaking, yes, you get a nicotine high, but it's not so much of a high. It's just you get a rush from the nicotine. I guess you could call that a high. And the way that the body processes it, it's you know, if a little made you feel this way, well, now it opens the door to you wanting more, mm-hmm. and then you wanting more, and even more and more and more of that. And so people who have the addiction, whether it's caffeine, whether it's nicotine, whether it's sugar, whatever, all of those things are you trying to deal with how you feel about yourself.
Mm-hmm.
In relationship to what's going on in your life.
Mm-hmm.
And so what the average listener wants to understand is if you feel controlled by your life, if you don't have the resources to make your life better, and you're stuck in a job, or you're stuck in a relationship, or you're stuck in an area, and these things are really grating up against you, chances are you're going to make poor decisions with regards to your food. Why? Because you're just trying to get yourself to feel better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I guess now what we're seeing more and more in terms of addiction is they're really going after young people with this vaping, where you don't have cigarettes now. You have this other way of getting this nicotine into
right,
your system.
Different flavored nicotine.
And they're flavored.
Systems.
Fruits and, I don't know, chocolate or whatever it is, cinnamon.
They're still creating the addiction,
right?
And they're still creating the imbalance within the individual, and they're still slowly over time going to ruin that person's life if they don't know how to gain control of themselves with regards to that as an addiction.
Yeah. It's. I mean, this is interesting because there are so many things that are societally acceptable that can become addictions, and there are the things that are considered outside the norms of society, and yet there has been this crossover, particularly when you're dealing with these opioids that have now crossed over because they begin as prescriptions.
Right.
Well, this is a great conversation to have, Doc Rick. We need to take a short commercial break to hear from our generous sponsor, the AlternativeHealthcareNetwork.com. When we get back, I want to have another little bit of, I have a few more questions for you about addiction and what you can do.
Excellent. But please listen to this commercial from our generous sponsor. You're listening to the AlternativeHealthcareNetwork.com.
You are listening to the Alternative Healthcare Network.
You've been going to the doctor for years. They order you blood work, give you a pill to cover up your symptom, and send you on your way. The side effects to that medication could not only be dangerous, but life-threatening, and what you don't know can kill you. I'm Dr. Richard Huntoon of the Advanced Alternative Medicine Center. For all the latest on improving your health, I'm here to answer any questions and helping you towards a healthier life. Call Advanced Alternative Medicine Center at 561-2225 or go to spineboy.com.
You are listening to the Alternative Healthcare Network.
And we are back, and you're listening to When Your Health Matters, the show designed to empower you to better health through knowledge and education. And I'm your host, Dr. Richard Huntoon from Advanced Alternative Medicine Center. We're located at 138 Canal Street in Pooler Park. That is in Pooler, Georgia. We're at Suite 404 in Building 400. Best way to get a hold of me would be to call my cell phone directly. Do not text me because I do not receive texts, but my cell phone number is 845-561-2225. I will answer the phone, or you can leave a message and I will call you back. You can email me at docrick@spineboy.com. Come to a free healthcare class. Go to my website. Continue to listen to me here. But if you have a concern, I want to help you with your concern, and I want you to overcome your concern. So, show's called When Your Health Matters. Today, Mark and I have been talking about a increasing topic within our society, and it's the topic of addiction. And Mark, you said you had more questions to ask.
One of the things I'd like to know is what happens when somebody that comes into your practice that has an addiction, how do you work with that person?
Well, I help them see and understand the mechanism that leads to their addiction, and then I help them break that mechanism so that their addiction can be solved once and for all.
So you can disrupt the addiction process?
I disrupt the thought process that leads to the behavior that ultimately results in the addiction itself.
And what about if you wanted to help somebody prevent an addiction from going down that path?
We set their body up for success and balance, and help them recognize the pitfalls of what will eventually lead to having an addiction and having the negative outcomes of addiction so that they never actually get on that path.
Mm-hmm. Now, one of the things, we talk a lot when we talk about prescription medications, we talk about the side effects. Is addiction a potential side effect from some of these drugs?
That's an interesting perspective. I never really thought of it that way, but addiction is a side effect now that I think about it. And at the end of the day, some of our prescription medications are designed to be addictive just so that you keep taking it.
Right.
And it's an endless source of income. It's residual income for the manufacturer. And according to the Food and Drug Administration, that can only be a good thing.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, opioids have gotten a pretty negative rap over the last few years because of the addiction problems. Is there ever an appropriate time to use something like that to treat an acute pain?
Well, at the end of the day, if you talk to the people that prescribe it, they will let you know that there is an acceptable time when you're post-op from a surgery of sorts and there's going to be a lot of pain associated with that surgical. They may give you a short-term prescription for a couple of days or what have you, and they'll encourage you to take it, but take it if you obviously feel if you need it. Mm-hmm. And most rational people are aware of the fact that this can become addictive, and so they'll sometimes choose not to even take one, let alone take it for a few days.
Right.
And that's a personal choice as far as their own suffering. There are some people that have a high threshold of pain who would say, you know what, I don't need any of that stuff, Doc. I'll tough through it, no big deal. Mm-hmm. But for those who are a little bit more sensitive, who have a little lower threshold as far as their pain response goes, it may be suitable for that. But what we need to do more research into and what needs to become more widespread as far as understanding and offered is the cannabis, the CBD THC oils. And,
right.
And the research and the understanding of that coming out of Israel is absolutely fascinating. And the fact that we all have cannabinoid receptors in every cell of our body, and the fact that, you know, cannabis is considered a sacred plant, and we need to get more of an understanding of how we can use that without the psychotropic effects to have the beneficial effects that the plant was designed to have for us. Designed by who? But it's designed by God.
Well, when you think about that, I mean, we've talked about other foods and things like that. It's like the supplements that you provide for people are whole food supplements, because when you talk about vitamins, we talk about the whole food vitamins, that the complex aspect of how these things are built in nature actually provide you the multiple substances that you need. So would the same thing be true, something like cannabis being used for medical purposes?
Yeah, and at the end of the day, it's approved in some states. It's not approved in Georgia. It is approved in New York State. And, you know, but what I see as a writing on the wall, unfortunately, is the fact that they're trying to regulate it so much because of the negative stigma associated with it, and they're going to monetize it in such a way that they're going to replace the opioid addiction with cannabis, probably. And not that it's going to become an addiction, because they take the psychotropic effects out of it, and they have these distribution centers, if you will, where you can go in and get it, but you have to have an approval from your medical doctor, and you have to get a number and go in, and they have to cross-reference all that before they will dispense it to you. So they're trying to do a good job at regulating it and doing a better job than they're doing with the pharmaceuticals, if you will. But the question is we got to be really careful we don't go down a slippery slope and end up replacing one addiction with something else that they put everybody on, kind of thing.
It's also been one of those situations where the people who are in the growing of it have continued to evolve it and change it, and they're doing all kinds of machinations to make it stronger or make it this or make it that. So it's not even necessarily the same natural product that was growing, say, 100 years ago.
Right. And as they do more and more research, most of that's coming out of Israel. If they do more and more research, they're trying to figure out the different fractions of CBD and the different fractions of THC and the ratios associated with which, whether you take a high ratio of CBD and a low ratio of THC, or vice versa, or equal ratios of both. And they're starting to formulate almost like, okay, if you have this kind of pain, this is the formula that you want to take. If you have this kind of circumstance, this is the formula you want to take. And they're almost trying to make it cookie cutter. So you're going to get your specific blend of CBD THC for your specific situation, and that kind of takes away from what nature's doing.
Right, but then you hear about these stories about these kids who have had seizures, and that's the one thing that seems to have helped.
Right. And whether it's seizures, whether it's autism, whether it's, you know, cancer, whether it's epilepsy, well, seizures, et cetera. When we talk about those kinds of conditions, there are people who are going to great lengths. They're even moving their families to a state where it is legal in an effort to gain access just so that they can have a normal life.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we in our healthcare industry need to do a better job of understanding what's it just take. At the end of the day, Mark, people just want to feel good and they want to have a normal life. And there's so much in our society that pulls us away from feeling good and having a normal life. And it ends up ruining lives.
Yeah, it does.
And we should do a better job of taking care of our brothers and sisters. And we should understand that what we do to ourselves, we do to another. And what we do to another, we do to ourselves. And we need to treat people with the respect that we would want to be treated with ourselves.
I agree completely. Now, if you are on the path of addiction, is there a way, do you need to get off of it?
Oh, of course you need to get off of it, and there's definitely a way, and there's things that I can do in the office to help you with that. We need to determine, A, what your addiction is, B, what the mechanism was for getting you into that level of addiction, and then we need to walk you back to why you got addicted to begin with, address the psycho-emotional reason for getting into that addictive behavior, and when you address that, the whole cascade collapses. And now you are left with a person who can rationally and objectively look at their circumstance and say, that used to be me, that's no longer me, and I don't need that substance, and I'll never need that substance ever again.
Mm-hmm. Now, I guess the one thing that I would like to ask you before we go today is, because you hear in these 12-step programs that people self-identify as an alcoholic or an addict, can you ever truly recover from an addiction, or you always identify as an addict or a clean, sober addict?
Well, that all depends, because one of my, I don't want to say criticisms, but one of my disagreements with the 12-step program is what step one is. And step one, and it's beneficial for the person who's going to take and get on the 12-step program, don't get me wrong. 12 steps definitely works. Okay, but there needs to be a 13th step.
And what would that be?
And the 13th step is the opposite of the first step. The first step is you admit that you're powerless over the thing that you have an addiction to.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because once you admit that you're powerless, then you can receive help.
Right.
And when you've gone through the 12 steps, the 13th step should be you taking your power back. Because now you're in charge of the choices that you make, and you can make them rationally, and you see the detriment of making a poor choice and what goes along with that poor choice, because you just moved yourself out of it. And so I would like people to take ownership, to take responsibility, to be in charge of themselves, and to not be powerless to anything in life, because that's not what God gave us free will. That's all the power in the world that you need.
Right.
The question is how do you choose to exercise it? Do you choose to exercise it in a bad way and get into addictive behavior? Or do you choose to exercise it in a positive way to where you have power over whatever it is that you used to have an issue with, or you never end up having that have power over you?
Yep. Well, that's great, Dr. Rick. Empowerment is what this show's about. We're out of time for today, but one more time, what's the best way to reach you?
Best way to get a hold of me would be to call my cell phone. That's at area code 845-561-2225. Again, 845-561-2225. You can email me directly at docrick@spineboy.com. That's docrick at spineboy.com. If you have a question, you have a concern, if you want to talk about your questions or your concerns, by all means, get a hold of me. I want to thank you for tuning in. I truly, truly, truly appreciate your listenership. I hope this is making a difference in your life, and I hope you will come back again next week. Please tune in next week, same health time, same health station. This is Dr. Richard Huntoon from Advanced Alternative Medicine Center saying, I look forward to supporting you when your health matters.
What started out as a headache has become a pain in the butt. What was just an itchy finger now is a swollen foot. Doctor, I've been out of breath, and I've never walked up a hill. Avoid all diet and exercise, I'd rather give you a pill. The thing is, there might be some side effects. You mean there probably will? Well, if it's a fact, just come back and I'll give you another pill.
On top of that, 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 on top of that. And then he showed me his bill. I popped another pill. I looked on the internet, checked out a medical site. It said you may not be depressive, but then again you might. If you're worried that you are, then take this simple test. Obviously you need a pill, you know how one is best. The thing is there might be some side effects. Oh, I'd heard that before. I went rushing back to the doctor. He said, are you looking for more? On top of that, 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 on top of that. I grabbed him by the stethoscope. I said, doctor, the reason I came, I'm wise to your little game. You and the pharmaceuticals and your medical insurance pals, you want us to stay ill so you can push your pills, making maximum gain and profit from our pain. And on top of that, on top of that, on top of that, on top of that. Tirade. I've been feeling better.